And it says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You know, we have often said this, that the church is not the building. And of course, we know that to be true. The church is not the building, it's us. We could have church down there at the park. That was a nice park we went to yesterday. We could have a church right there in one of those pavilions. We could have a church in your backyard, or a church service in your backyard. As long as we're together, we can have a called out assembly. And that's what we're saying. We say we can have church. We can have a called out assembly over here. We can have our called out assembly over there. We don't need the building, but I'll tell you what, aren't you glad we have a building? For them together, as we sit there and we read this verse, they were first called Christians, or Christ-like, or after Christ, at Antioch. They had a building. Now, what that looked like, I'm not entirely sure. But they had a spot where they went in. There was probably a door. There was probably some walls. Might have been a spot to sit down. Who knows? But they got together and they met there. And that is where they got our, that's where they got our name. That's where it began. Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. And it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his... Hold on. All the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Right? We see the value. Now, to them, it was the temple. To the writer there, it was the temple itself. To us, it is this building. Think of the memory that you have had in this building. Think of the sermons. Think of the life events that have taken place here. Think of all of the preachers. Think of all of the members. Think of all of the work days, all of the conferences. So much has been poured in to these walls. I started this series of messages off. I love this old religion. And I said, well, I love this old book. I love these old hymns. And I'll tell you this, I love this old building. I've not been here near as long as most of you have, but I tell you what, I love this place. I do, I love it. Right? You go to other places and they've got fancy lights and they've got all these nice amenities and coffee bars in the front and all that good stuff. And you know what? That's fine, but that is not our church building. This is our church building. And again, God is not in the light fixtures. God is not in the pews, right? It is not about those things. But there's something to be said about the house of God and the love that we have for it and the memories that we build into it. In the house of God, in this old building, we're fed. At least we should be if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and the devotion givers are doing what they're supposed to be doing and the people who give the music and give the Sunday school classes, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're getting fed in this building. We are fed through the devotions. And I like to think about a church building as the kind of serving as the spiritual dining table. It's here where we converse while having our spiritual needs met. There is a bonding process that takes place around the table. And I tell you what, the devotions are kind of like a potluck that way. We all gather together. And I tell you what, Brother Charlie's going to come up. He's going to give us a thing. Brother Mark will give us a little bit of something. Brother Dennis will give us something. Right? And we'll have that experience from them. Right? Sometimes we'll get up and we'll get a devotion and we'll hear something from their point of view mixed in with Scripture. And you look at that, you go, that's good. And then every now and then you'll hear, hey, listen, I applied this to my life and this is what happened. And I sit there and I go, praise the Lord, that's good. It is good for us to bring a piece of our understanding of God, for us to share Scripture that has done something to us, something to grow us, something to mature us. We bring that forward to share. Almost like we would our favorite recipe. Almost like we would do that. Right now my mom, she's got this Oreo cookie cake. Y'all have had it, right? She's proud of that recipe. You know where she got that recipe? I'm not allowed to say, but I'm... She got it out of a magazine. Clipped it, saved it, uses it for everything. She's so proud of that thing. It was a great big deal to her to pass it down to me and to pass it down to Danielle. To her, that was a great big thing. She won't tell too many people how to make that. You got to be right on her good side for her to share that recipe with. You know, for each and every one of us, we've got things that the Word of God has done to our lives. Our devotions, the devotions that are shared here, it's that opportunity for a child of God to come forward, not the preacher, not a Sunday school teacher, but for somebody to come forward and say, hey, listen, here. And again, there's kind of a monotony that comes from a Sunday school teacher, and we'll even say this, a pastor. You listen to him preach three times out of the week. Isn't it good to have somebody who's not him stand up and give a chance at it? I love the devotions in this church. Right, I tell you what, I've sat through devotions at other places that didn't go so well. I saw a man one time get up and for 10 minutes give us all the names of God. And I love the names of God. But after a while, you just kind of lose focus, don't you? Like, all right, I lost the ability to take notes. You're going too fast on me. Right, okay, for 10 minutes you're going off all the names of God, all the names of Jesus. That was a good time. All right, that's fine. But I love it when it gets in deep. I love it when it's about something. You know, you could probably just come up here, read Proverbs, and we'll get something out of it. But I tell you what, when there's a personal application to it, man, that's what I need. That's what I crave. Give me something. Now, again, we don't have to be off the wall. Let's keep it scriptural. Keep it tight to that. We don't want to get creative up here. But give me some scripture. Give me some practical application. And I tell you what, I'll sit there all day. Right? There have been some devotions that have been given here lately. I almost want to sit there and say, well, forget Sunday school. Keep going. I do. And I'm not trying to stroke anybody's ego here. You're feeding me. We sit around and we get fed. It doesn't always have to be the same person bringing the meal. Right? It's good. Right? We need that time of devotion. We need a time of testimony. Because I tell you what, if God's working on you, maybe he can work on me. If God's done something in your life, I can expect that God would do the same in mine. And I get that encouragement. Hey, brother, I see that you're struggling with this. Let me tell you what I used to do. Let me tell you what scripture I used. We need that. We need that time of testimony. We need that time of shared experience. Shared experience. Some of us have gone through things, others haven't. And it's good for us to have that teaching and have that education before we go through that. Give me the scripture you use long before I've got to go into those waters so I can be prepared. Right? I'm willing to listen. Well, you're the pastor. You should know all that stuff. You know what? I do know a lot of the stuff that these men are saying. I do. That don't mean it don't make me happy to hear it. Didn't I say that in Sunday school class this morning? All right? Why do you preach to the choir? Because that's how you get them to sing. Every now and then you got to preach to the pastor, right? Because that'll set them on fire. That's what I need that. You need that. We need the experiences of others and what they have gone through. And I tell you what, there is a wisdom in that experience that needs to be shared, right? Listen, I doubted God for a half a second. I did what he said. It proved to be true. Let me tell you. Let me show you the wisdom in this. Let me show you the understanding you got to put together. I had a guy one time, he was teaching me, one of the men down in Cincinnati. I said something, he didn't want to correct me. So this is what he did. Hey, brother, can you do me a second? Can you read this verse? You got your Bible, right? Yeah, brother, I got my Bible. I got my Bible right here. You got the Bible? Can you look up this verse for me? Okay, all right. And I read it to him best way I could. That's wonderful, brother. Thank you. Now, there's another verse running through my. Can you look that up? All right. Uh-oh. All right, yeah, I read it to him. That's nice. All right, one more, brother, one more. I'm catching on. Oh, I got you. Share a little bit of wisdom. Share a little bit of wisdom. Well, that person's kind of sensitive. Well, give them scripture. And if they're too sensitive for that, they're too sensitive to learn anyway. Just it. Share some wisdom. Share a little bit of how you know it works. A little bit of how you know that the Word of God does what it does. Show them how to put it into practice, right? At the beginning and the end of every conversation we have about Scripture, in every devotion, Sunday school lesson, and sermon, we must answer the question, yes, but how? Give me the wisdom. Here's this passage of Scripture. Oh, I love that passage of Scripture. Here's the message of it. Oh, I love that message. Now, here's how you apply it. That's what we need. Here is how you apply it. I love that doctrine. Well, this is how you put that doctrine in everyday life. We need it. We need the yeah, but hows. And devotions are a wonderful way to teach us that. You know what else we need? We need Sunday school. Sunday school is that good eating. Sunday school is the protein. Right? It's the salad, it's the veggies, it's all the good stuff. We need education through Scripture. We need to understand what the Scripture has to say. We need to be able to look at it, not in a way that we're critiquing it, but in a way that I can look at it, pull it apart, and understand what it has to say. We Baptists, we should be proud of that in a proper way. We should be proud of the fact that we get our doctrine from Scripture and not from some man. We need to be able to dive into the Scripture and see that stuff there. Right? The very same questions that you asked me a year and a half or so ago to determine if I was fit, you should be able to answer as well. And it is. Right? And I'm not teasing about that. That was a good questions to ask. Proper questions to ask. But that's not just for the pastor to understand. We should all know it. We should all know the answers to that. Well, I don't, brother. Sunday school. Sunday school ought to teach those things. Sunday school ought to be able to go through Scripture and pick those things apart and give us an intricate understanding of Scripture. That's what it's there for. Right? So often I beat on things where Sunday school becomes entertainment hour. It is not that I'm against entertainment, but you're leaving a good opportunity on the table. When we're going to get together to open Scripture, it ought to be for educational purposes. I'm not against some of our Sunday school teachers doing like a coloring thing at the end of it, right? Us adults, we can sit longer than the kids can, but we give them a designated lesson. And what happens? The lessons that Gideon and Lucy get, right, that they're going to be at their level. We go up a lot, we go up a class, those lessons will be at their level. And every now and then they'll grow. Every year they'll grow with the purpose of educating you and what the Bible has to say, right? It'll be nice and easy, maybe with a sing-song voice with the younger ones. By the time they're teenagers, there's more in-depth stuff that we're going through. Why? Because it's good for them to have that information. By the time you get up into the adult class, we ought to be able to get into the Scripture. We ought to be able to read it. We ought to be able to pull some things apart, have more than just a basic understanding. That is the purpose of Sunday school, and it happens right here in the building. We ought to get excited about that. We ought to enjoy that. Well, Sunday school is a little hard for me to get to because, you know, breakfast, coffee, paint my toenails, whatever it is. No, get to Sunday school. Well, brother, do you understand how old I am? I do. You know, I tell you what, why don't you sit in some of the classes that I have had, the numerous hours I have spent in classes covering, recovering, and covering again the same basic material. And you know what I'll tell you? I'll tell you after the end of it, you'll want to hear it again. I don't care. I will hear it again. In this building, we've got devotions, we've got Sunday school, and I tell you what, we eat through the preaching. It tells us what to do. Preaching tells us what not to do. And preaching should provide a certain amount of encouragement in both of those efforts. Preaching should also comfort us. It should disturb us. It should shake us up a little bit. Why? Because there are dangers out there. We ought to come to want to eat. Come to want to hear that. And of course, this is an uncomfortable thing for me to say because I'm asking you to rely on something that I'm doing and I don't always have a lot of confidence in. I get how that sounds as I'm saying it out loud. I do. But we come to church to hear the preaching. And if I'm coming to church to hear the preaching, I better put it into use. I better. We had this lady at the apartments. She used to she'd go down to the thrift stores on a certain day. You could always tell she'd get up, go down to the thrift stores. And she'd see her come back and she'd stop by the office. Hey, Matt, I got this. Hey, Matt, I got that. Hey, Matt, look at this thing that I've got over here. And after a while, I start to go, you know, that's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. Because she's faithful going down there. I'm sitting there going, I wish some of the kids in my Sunday school class were as faithful to church as they were, as this lady is to the thrift store. Well, when it came down, she needed something done in her apartment. There was a problem. I needed to go down there and assess things. Guess what I found? Bag after bag after bag. It wasn't just all the stuff she bought. It was the bag that it came in. And it was still in the bag. She bought stuff. She got stuff. She was faithful to go get stuff, but never put any of it into use. Belts, shoes, pants, shirts, gadgets, widgets, kitchen accessories. I mean, a veritable junkyard. All of them in plastic bags, none of them in use. And I think how often us Christians, we come in, we get the sermons, we get the lessons, we take them home in their bags, we put them down, and we never open them up to put them into use in our lives. Hey, here's a sermon on being a father. Well, that's real nice. All right, that's good. Preacher preached a good one on being a dad. That's great. And we leave it there. Oh, he preached a good... You hear that point that he made on marriage? Yeah, I hope my wife was listening. Here we go. Put that right there. We put that stuff to use. Open up what was taught. Open up what was preached on and put it to use. Because I tell you what, all I am is a shouting thing up here. If we're not putting the things to use, I fill time, I scream through the air, but it does nothing if we don't take the word of God and how it was preached and put it into practice. It is a plate full of food we're not going to touch. Did you have a kid like that? It depends on what we're eating. We'll have some of the foods that we'll make, to maybe two of the boys will clean it out. It's gone. But maybe the next dinner, they'll sit there, they'll take two bites, they'll be done. Oh, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. No, we can't be putting things on our plate and not eating them. Right? Well, did you sit in the sermon? Yeah, I was there for the sermon. Did you hear that? Yeah. What are you going to do with it? Because so often the things that are preached on are the problems that I'm dealing with, the problems that you're dealing with. Right? How foolish would it be if I'm sitting there preaching on things and I never put those things into practice? You'd think I was a fool. But for us to sit and not take those words and not put them into use, we're missing an opportunity. We're messing up. In this building together, we are fed. And in this building as well, we fellowship. Do we not fellowship? I tell you what, we have a good time. At least I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time. We get together and we've got the men's fellowships and we're laughing and we're joking and some of you are being goofy, and then sometimes we'll take a turn and we'll get real serious about things. I'll go there and sometimes I'll give a devotion and I'll say, well, what do you think? And it just takes off. I love that. We fellowship good, don't we? We fellowship around the Word of God. Sometimes we just do nonsensical things. We do. When I sat there, I think it was the first one we did. We were doing a certain game out here. That game ended. We kept playing basketball, didn't we? Well, some of y'all did. I was talking to some of my family members about a funeral, but no, sat there playing basketball. Well, brother, is that very scriptural? No, it's fellowship. And fellowship is scriptural. It's fellowship. Well, you know, we could do that anywhere. The church is not for that. What do you mean you could do that anywhere? The church ain't for it. What else? Where else would I go? Who else would I rather do that with? You know what? I could go down to Putt-Putt, find me a friend. Well, I that's probably a stretch. But I could. But I tell you what, why not fellowship with God's people? Why not do it in His house? Right? 4th of July. Why are we having a 4th of July fellowship? Don't they know they got fireworks down there in Frankenmuth? Don't they know I got to get ready for that? I got to get the bug spray on. We got to do our own cookouts. We got stuff to do. Why not? 4th is on a Monday. Take the day off. Most of you retired. Why do we do it? Because we ought to love each other. You find a church out there that doesn't have fellowships. You find a church out there that doesn't schedule time to be together. And I'll tell you this, you'll find a church that doesn't spend time together. You'll find a church that's got rifts. You got to find a church that's got too much distance in it. Why? Because they show up, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? Oh, good, good. All right, well, have a good day. Don't take my spot. I won't take yours. hey, one of us has got to do this, one of us has got to do that. All right, well, I don't really like that person, so I'll ask that person to help me. That's really what it is. Sometimes we'll have a work day. Some of y'all just show up to fellowship, and I tell you what, that's nice too. That sounds like I'm saying one thing. It's not. It's nice. It's nice. When you're sitting there doing stuff and you got a bunch of people sitting there talking and laughing, makes that time go by so much faster, puts more value into it, in my opinion. What do you need 10 people there doing it for? We don't need 10 people. Some folks are just there for emotional support. That's fine. Why the men's fellowships? Why the ladies' fellowships? Well, I'll be honest. At first, it was so we could get to know y'all. Now it's, why stop? Right? It's nice. I like it. We spend time in fellowship before services, after services, while we're doing things together. We make friends. We give support. I tell you what, if the one thing a lot of people need right now is to feel supported. God gave us a structure for that. And we need to be paying in as much as we require back out and more. We need to put that in. I tell you what, I have so often found in this church a lack of desire to want to ask for help and getting it anyway. Every single church member needs to feel that. I'll get you exhaust yourself after a while, but as you needing to be lifted up, here we all are to lift you up. And I tell you what, when I run out of energy and I'm starting to feel weak, then we go and we go to that person and that person and that person and that, and we give the love, we give the support. We mourn together, we weep together, we rejoice together. We do. We make friends, we support each other. And I tell you what, we build some good memories. We build some great memories. Can I ask you this? How many of you were baptized in that baptismal? Now, can I ask, my little boy just popped his hand up. That's his memory. But it's mine too. See, you were baptized in that baptismal. I baptized my first person in that baptismal. Same memories, different effects. Right? Some of you, anybody here, you were married here? You've got that here. I mean, you ever just stop and hopefully not while I'm preaching, but go back in time and remember the building as it was when you were married? Oh, yeah, I remember that. I'll sit there. I'll talk to some of y'all. You'll just start telling me stuff. And I tell you what, that's so precious to me. I know but it's the truth. That's precious to me. When we're sitting there, we're talking about the roof. Well, brother so-and-so did this, and brother so-and-so did that, and once upon a time this happened and that happened. You're digging down deep into the recesses of your mind, and you're pulling out golden memories of time spent in God's house. We take those memories and we cherish those. Right? Well, remember when Pastor so-and-so, remember when brother so-and-so got up and he preached this message? I remember he did our service. I remember he did this funeral. I remember. Those are good memories, precious memories, valuable memories. We live our lives in this building. We see lives change and progress in this building. And I tell you what, I've got some pictures over there and I do a better job of refreshing those. But I look through those things, and those are but a few of the memories that I've had in the last year and a half. Just being here. Watching you folks do stuff. Some of the pictures with us wearing masks will come down. New memories made in the last few months will go up. How wonderful. They're precious here. And I tell you what, those memories, they anchor us to this building. I've got memories from Flat Rock that I carry with me. Right? I've often said I love Flat Rock, and I never thought I would love another church, but here we are. And I tell you what, there's a little bit something special, a little bit something different here for me. We're comfortable, we're happy, we're thriving as a family, we're thriving in this atmosphere. And the way you guys love on the kids is something that most preachers do not experience. They don't. Thank you for that. Most of my kids' memories of church will be in this building, if y'all keep me. They'll be in this building. Most of your children's memories happened in their youth happened around this building. It is valuable that we let life happen here. That we have them. Now what happens? Storm comes tomorrow, rips the building down. Storm can't rip the memories away. You know what? We can replace these pews and that doesn't do anything. We'll just get new ones. Right? We all, you know what? Those light fixtures, they don't work anymore. We got to get new ones. You know what? The memories continue. We had a dear lady at Flat Rock had the hardest time not understanding that God was not in the light fixtures. He was not in the color of the walls. He was definitely not in the carpet. We could swap those things out, and the church is still the church. Yeah, the building's valuable. But the things that the church does in that building is where the value remains. The Lord could bless, we could move on to a bigger and better building, and we'll still carry the memories. Oh, how valuable they are. We live our lives in church buildings. Children are dedicated. I don't know if you guys do that here, but we always did that at Flat Rock. When a baby was born, we brought it forward to church together just for that baby. Right? They call it a dedication. I don't know exactly they were dedicating it to because the Lord picks his, but sit there, we hold him and we pray for him as a church. You know, we did that for all of my kids there with the exception of Melody. I think we did that with Melody at Flat Rock. We might have. I'm not sure. But babies are dedicated here. I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to have them taught here. They'll be here for the services. They'll be here for the memories. They'll be here for the fellowships. Why? That's my commitment. I'm going to take care of this baby. We see them born. Anybody here, you were born. Your parents were already coming to the church? Should be most of the kids. No, not you. Not you guys in the back. But some of you were. Mom and Dad were already going to church when I was born. Right? You start your life there. Well, what happens next? Souls are saved in this church. See, in this building, as we get together, of course, it's not in the wood. It's not in the carpet. It's in the Lord himself, but it is in these buildings where we see these things. Right? We were leaving a men's fellowship when my son came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Happened right out there in the parking lot. My salvation happened after a devotion that took place right there at Flat Rock. Went home. Lord knocked on the door of my heart. Right there in my bed from a devotion that took place in church. The gospel is preached here. And again, this is the Lord's house. It is holy ground. We see and hear many being baptized. And oh, I wish it was many nowadays. I wish we did have that thing running as often as we could. I could think of a good many people I'd like to see in those waters. I could think of a good many people I would like to see forgiven and back into the membership of the church. It all takes place right here. We need to treat God's house as holy ground because of what takes place in this building. Oh, and how about this? We've already talked on this. Couples are married right here in this church. Couples make their commitment together for the Lord right here. Now, I've not done it, and I'm not in a hurry to do it. Right, I've got a test you got to pass, and I've got some classes you got to take. Right, I'm going to be very particular, but all the same, they all take place right here. Many of you raise your hand. I was married in this building. We make that commitment. Danielle and I at Flat Rock, we stood before all the church, all of our family and friends. And we literally tied a knot together. We braided a knot together. One cord was me, one cord was her, one cord was the Lord. Always understanding that our bond together will only ever be as tight as we are together in the Lord. When our relationships with the Lord suffer, our relationships to each other will suffer. When the relationships between us suffer, our relationship with the Lord will suffer. We bonded that together. That was what we did. I still have that. Still something that we hang on to as valuable in our lives. Why? Because it's a day. Those commitments take place right here. And again, it is all about the Lord. It is all about God's people. But this is the setting for that sort of a thing. You know what? I don't mind an outside wedding. I don't mind a destination wedding. But my favorite will always be a church wedding. A good Baptist church wedding, by the way. If you ever get invited to a Hungarian Reform wedding, don't go. All right? You tell them, no, I can't go. They'll understand because they don't want to be there either for 4 or 5 hours. You know, they just don't go. No, I tell you, all right, hey, brother, can you come? We're getting married. Would you like to come to our wedding? Where is it? Oh, it's at our church. Oh, I'd love to be there. I know your pastor. I know what he stands for. I know what your church stands for. I'd love to be there. It always gets me a little bit nervous when people who I know from a church of same like faith and order, we're going to go get married out in a field. Why? Why? What's going to take place in the wedding that he can't take place inside of a church? Now, again, I'm being picky. You don't have to. I'm being picky. I, that's the way I'd prefer it. Let's put it in the church. Because it's an important thing. You know what? The Lord moved us out of the church we were married, but that was always his plan. But I tell you what, sometimes I'll sit there and nowadays I'll go back to Flat Rock and I'll sit there and we'll go for like one of their conferences or something. I'll sit there going, why didn't it look like this when we got married? Those pictures would have been so much nicer. But we sat there in front. Every time I go in that building, this is the building I was baptized. This is the building I was married in. These were the people. This is, again, holy ground we're standing in. Where that kind of powerful commitment is made and kept and maintained, by the way. Marriages ought to be maintained in the church. Pastor, I got a problem. Hey, that was a good sermon. Let's go home and, sweetheart, let's talk about it. Let's have a conversation. Let's let the walls down and have a biblical conversation about what we heard today. And far more often than I'm comfortable with, a church is a setting where we say goodbye to each other, where we have the funerals. Now, Brother Bowen said he's much more comfortable doing funerals than he is weddings, with the exception of what a funeral is, because, again, there's a lot less picky people about that sort of a thing. But this is the place where, sadly, many of us will say goodbye one last time to each other. And look, who do we have around us? The friends and family that we made the memories with. The friends and family that we loved. And again, one of the many, many reasons, other than the fact that God says not to, one of the many, many reasons we should not have divisions. Because you never know what will be left unsaid. You never know what should have been left unsaid and was never repaired. You never know when something's going to hit you. You don't know how you're going to get through it. I've done funerals where I didn't know the person. So I was able to put my whole effort into care, love, and compassion. I've done funerals for family members. And it ripped out my heart. But I tell you what, I would think that doing another funeral for one of our church members, it hits me differently than any of the others. But we have that to share here. We do. But as I sit there and I comfort you and you comfort me, we comfort each other in the Lord. And it's in this building and it's a sacred thing. It's a separated thing. It's a holy thing. And I tell you what, that funeral I did for my uncle, that man did not love God. Wouldn't hear a thing about it. I had to dance all over that question. My dad in heaven, is my brother in heaven? I firmly believe this or that about. So you ask him if you wanted to go to heaven when he was alive, he would have laughed at you and told you no. All the rock stars are in hell. Right? Breaks my heart. But when you've got a child of God in the setting of the church, that's an easier sermon for me to preach. That hurts, but it's easier. Because I know it's a temporary goodbye. It's a little goodbye. It's more of a I'll see you later. It's more of a keep, you know, get real used to heaven so you can tour me around kind of a thing. And I tell you what, that's good. It's good to have that stuff right here. To put that in and be able to share that together. And there's no good way to go through that, but I tell you what, that if you're going to go through it, that's the best way to go through it. together in the Lord's house. So what is our response then? Well, we looked at what David said. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that is to what? To dwell in the house. But we also see another thing that was written in the book of Psalms. And that is, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us approach going to church, going to the church building, as a happy thing, as an exciting thing. You know, some of y'all made fun of me when I first started coming here. We were living down in Southgate still, and I would just come up. You understand my excitement? The joy that I had? Well, brother, you literally could have studied from anywhere. I know. But I wanted to meet him in his house. Right now, and then of course when we moved up to Flushing, I could come and I had developed my little office hours. I could come in and I'd be here, and it wasn't often, but it was often enough for me, and it was good. And I sat at the desk and I pulled out the books, and oh, I love being in the house of God. Now I live right around the corner. I just pop right on over, man. I just love going to the church building. It's not a drudgery. When you put all of these things in view, it is not a drudgery. Why do you keep having more stuff for us to do? Because I like being here. And I like seeing you. And I tell you what, I think y'all like each other. You don't always act like it, but I know y'all like each other. Only people that love each other can pick on each other the way that we do. And that's good. Well, hey, I'm sorry, I don't mean to, you know what, you go ahead, you mean to. Let's correct each other, let's love on each other, let's pick on each other a little bit, let's laugh, let's show up with meals when people need it, let's do that. You know, I tell you what, it can be a little, I don't want to use the word disconcerting, but it can be a little confusing when we don't have exact lists on things. And I did, by the way, for the lawnmower thing, if I could just get silly for a second. I did for mowing. I wrote a list. I did. For some of you, you may not remember the list I wrote, but I wrote the list. You wonder why I didn't do a list this year? Because you didn't listen to it the first year. We were still throwing elbows for the thing, and I say that confessingly because I was the one who'd always dive on there. That's fine. Well, I'm going to go take so-and-so dinner, and you look out, there's Mark Smith out there mowing the lawn. That's fine. That's good. Why? Because God's people are not a drudgery. God's house is not boring if you love it the way that you ought to. Well, are you going to be at church on Sunday? Oh, I don't know. You know what? I do know. I'm going to be there if I can. Minus illness or something going on that would threaten my ability to be there. I'm going to be there. Now again, we get sick, we get our bumps, we get our bruises, our aches and our pains that hinder us. Which is why it makes being there when you can be there so valuable. Because you don't know what your health is going to do. Some of you face chronic illnesses. Some of you face chronic pain. You don't know when that's going to take you out. So I tell you what, when you can be there, you be there. You know, Pastor Hugan, he's got that rheumatoid arthritis. And he hit it well. He did. He'd go up there, and some of us could always tell when that was the last place his body wanted to be. You'd see it in his hands. You'd see it in his knees. You'd see it in the fact that he wouldn't sit down. He'd just stand up, be there for the whole service. Why would he do that? Because he loved the house of the Lord. He's not going to let a little thing like some pain like that. Now, there were days. Took him out. There were days he couldn't do it. So for every day that he could do it, he made sure he was there. Why? Because you don't know. You don't know. And hey, while you're there, enjoy the experience. Enjoy it. Right? You go to some churches, you see folks walking. I've been to conferences where I'm like, I'm excited to be there. Oh, look at all the people I never see. Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? You go in and you see some folks. And, I mean, they sit in the back and they dare you to come over and say hi. I always fall for it. I'm a sucker. They're miserable. Why? This, that, or the other? Now, again, most of the time, it's not even a real thing. Right? They got cut off in traffic. They got held up. The kid ate the last Pop-Tart, something like that. They got all upset about stuff. Right? I come to this church, but only half of the people ever come say hi to me. Well, go say hi to the other half. You got the first half for free. Right? We get our attitudes mixed up. Right? Hey, come in, Mom. Hey, are you saved? Yeah. Are you glad about it? Yeah. Can you tell your face? Your face doesn't seem to know. Now, again, we don't be too cavalier. Some folks come in suffering. Some folks come in hurting. We need to be sensitive to that. We need to be supportive in that. But I tell you what, if you come in gloomy just because you ran out of milk, you need to fix that. Handle that. Or my personal favorite, we were watching a video as a family doing a skit about trying to get out the door on a Sunday morning to get to church. And that poor dad, he's walking through the house telling one kid, all right, get ready. Okay, Dad. And he goes over to the little girl, and the little girl goes, I'm going to wear this. And he goes, all right. And he goes over to the other kid and feeds the baby and just wander around the house. Eventually, nobody's getting ready for church. No one's getting, and you know how this goes. You've been there. I know you have, because if you had kids, you've been there. Finally, I sit there, I paused the video. I looked over at my dear sweet children. And I go, now, boys, at this particular point, what do you think the dad's going to do? One of them says, be late for church. One of them says, yell. Sure enough, and I get, we've been there, I'm sure. Fussing at the house, fussing in the car, right? I don't want to hear a peep out of you. You guys go in there and you smile. We just let them have it. Both boots at the same time. Now, you're going to go in there, you're going to behave, you're going to have a good time. And you get into the church. Hi, how you doing? Good to see you. How you doing? Oh, we had such a great morning. I tell you, put the smile on. Something bad happens out in the car. Leave it out in the car. Leave it out in the car. Now, there are serious things. Church is for serious things. If there's serious hurts, things that'll last, big problems, you come talk to me. We'll pray together. We'll bring that into a prayer request, right? But there are some small things we get hung up on, better left outside in the car. Leave that out there. Right? Again, you see those couples always sitting next to each other, always sitting next to each other. Then there's that one Sunday, they're on either side of the pew together, and you go, uh-oh. Either somebody skipped deodorant or leave that out. Leave it out. Let us have that friendship. Let us desire to be here in the house of God. And when we're here, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. Well, I can't because one time 7 years ago this happened to me. This one time 20 years ago this happened to me. Heal. Forgive. Cut out the roots of bitterness. Right? Because you got the rest of your life. You're really going to carry it for the rest of your life? You're really going to feel that sting every day? You're going to let them do that to you? No, you forgive them. Let it go. I tell you what, churches can be a place for bad memories. They can be a place for things that are not so pleasant where, exclusions have had to happen. Maybe perhaps there was arguments that never should have happened between people. It doesn't matter. We get those things right. We leave the house of God unblemished. We don't bring those things in. And in order for us to be glad, in order for us to be able to reach into the church and enjoy the church the way that it ought to be, enjoy the building that it ought to be, folks, we've got to keep it. We've got to keep it and maintain it. I'm talking anywhere from just making sure it's all good, vacuuming the floors, taking out the trash, doing repair work that needs to be repaired, and making sure our behavior is what it ought to be. Making sure our behavior is what it ought to be. You know, I was kind of laughing. I saw Victory running barefoot. That's fine for his age. That is okay. You know, Melody and Victor, sometimes they get a little woolly. That's age appropriate. That's fine. You know what I'm saying? Brother Bill over here starts doing it. That's going to be a problem. That's why, because we're in church. We got a code of conduct here, man. We got to behave ourselves a little bit, right? Not that I've ever had any issues with you folks. That's not what I'm. But you get it. Why don't we bring coffee into this room? Why don't we have food in this room? Why is it that we try to police that stuff back to the fellowship hall? Because we honor this place. You know, I told that joke. Up in this room, we want the kids, no running, no none of that. Kids want to hurt themselves, they can hurt themselves in the basement. And I tell you what, we ought to have places for that too, not to hurt yourself, but for just kids, doing kids stuff, right? I told somebody this. I just recently, they asked about some of the stuff that our church does. I said, listen, I go, we've got something for the adults who are retired to get together and fellowship a little bit. And then on Fridays, we do that on Fridays. And then on Thursday, I started doing something for the kids to do just like that. Except I don't want to give the kids coffee, so we gave them sports. Right? We gave them activity. Right? We have to burn the energy, and then for those of us that need it, we get the caffeine. It makes sense somehow. We keep it. We maintain it, though. We have a respect for it. Right? We need to have the right attitude towards this building. We need to have the right care for this building. Why? Because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. Right? It is not the pastor's building. It is not brother or sister so-and-so's building. It is God's building. And we treat it as such. And we fill it with things that bring Him honor and glory. We fill it with music. We fill it with praise. We fill it with preaching and teaching and fellowship and laughter and joy. Yes, we fill it with some tears. We fill it with mourning. We fill it with all the things that pertain to a godly life. And it will be a place that we cherish. It'll be a place that we honor. In a world that is rapidly changing its view on religion, I value the tried and true. I value the building as it is. Now again, there may be changes we have to make here or there, but I value what we do here enough to value the place too. Why? Because it all belongs to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to You, we are grateful for the